Your Bibles, we're going to jump into the Word this morning and continue. I love the sound when the kids herd out of here. Well, we're continuing on our study about spiritual fitness. You know, it's getting nice out. People are walking. People are enjoying it. You know, pretty soon it'll be beach weather. I say pool weather, but this is Maine. The pools are cold. I have a friend down south, and he said, yeah, his pool gets up to like 80 degrees. I'm like, oh, that'd be perfect. You know, we got a little pool out back, and that gets like 50. That's not enjoyable. My daughter goes in there and swims around like a fish, but I'm like, she's like, come on, Dad. I'm like, no, I'm old. I'll break if it gets that cold. But we're all concerned over spiritual fitness, of what to eat and what to do and exercise and all these pressures in the world to look a certain way. And yet, oftentimes what we neglect is the spiritual. And so, over the next several weeks, we're probably 3 weeks into this already, talking about spiritually, how do we get spiritually fit? And I think as we see what's going on in the world today, that it's more important now than ever before for us to be able to stand spiritually against some of what's going on. And so as we live in an information age, and we have information and misinformation and discerning, I've spent a big chunk yesterday of reading all types of stuff about COVID from all over the spectrum. And there are wide diversities of opinion, and everyone claims their own facts. Right? I mean, we have so much information today. Well, how do we know what's true and what's not? And it's imperative for us to be spiritually fit as we see that day approaching. So here's a list of what we're going through. I'm a little odd because I'm going across. So it's prayer, and then we did fasting last week. Now we're down to study. My wife's like, how can we just do one list at a time? Because I'm not normal. And so we did prayer, we did fasting. Today we're going to get into studying. This is everyone's favorite, right? Getting into studying. And studying God's Word is obviously what we're talking about here. And the importance of Bible study, of knowing the Scriptures. Hosea warns us. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being a priest for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. And this is a dire warning to Israel, that they have forgotten what God's word was. And it's interesting because some of you are old enough that in school, I remember talking to a gentleman, he goes, in school that they went through the Proverbs. They learned the Lord's Prayer. They learned some very basic Bible knowledge in the school system. Of course, that's been removed several years ago. But the amount of biblical ignorance is on the rise, that people really don't know what the Bible says. And we're seeing this kind of infiltrated, and, you know, as a student of the Word and, as a pastor, and, my job is to hopefully know it, it's a never-ending process. But I get frustrated with people who don't even care what the Bible says about something. And that willful spiritual ignorance. And of course, you guys are here this morning, hopefully to hear God's word, experience worship together. So hopefully you're not in that. But be careful. And I think we're seeing this in our nation as we sort of have that sort of biblical foundation that used to be standard in our society has really been removed. And we're seeing the end result of that. We have a lot of lawlessness going on. And everyone's kind of doing what's right in their own eyes. And I don't think it's going well. As Christians, Paul told Timothy this. He says, be diligent to present yourself, approved to God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Right? That not only do we know what God's word is, but also how do we apply it? How do we wisely apply these things? Right? When we have passages that seem to say two different things, how do we rectify that? How do we know? Right? And there are some things in the Scriptures that are clear. Thou shalt not. But there's also things where we have principles that we apply to our lives. And to know those principles and know these wisdoms are you got to be in it to kind of know it, that we can rightly apply it to our lives. It's funny, have you ever got involved in a project and not followed the instructions? Now, I'm funny because some of the leads are snickering. I thought it was just a guy thing. You know, it's like, oh, instructions? I don't need the instructions. Years and years ago, because growing up, I liked putting stuff together. And so Christmas, I love Christmas. We had, you know, five kids in the family. And I was a designated put-together-er. I don't know if that's a word or not. But my job was to put everyone's toys together. You know, it says some assembly acquired, and you dump out a box of a million pieces. Like, some. And so there's a matchbox. I don't know if you guys, any of you guys had this. There's a matchbox garage. And we didn't have a lot of money growing up. And my parents spent big money on this. Because usually we got one big gift and a couple. But anyways, it was a little garage. You put the car in. You cranked it up. It went up a little elevator. And then it went down. Right? And that came in a million pieces. I had to put it together. And it wasn't mine. It was my brother's. So I was putting it together for him. And I'm like, I don't need the instructions. It's pretty obvious. So I'm putting it all together. Not only that, but I'm like, you know what? I don't want it to fall apart on him. So I glued each piece as I went along. Oh, well. I have a feeling you guys know where this is going. So I turned around and put this all together. And I went to, and it didn't go up like it was supposed to. Well, there's a little coil spring that you were supposed to put in. It was step number 3. Of 30, it was, so I actually had to break it because I glued it to put that piece in there to get it up, fishing back around, and I got all but that together, and my brother, he probably destroyed it within 3 weeks anyways, but it was, just one of those things that I thought I knew what was right, I thought I knew what I was doing, right, until it didn't work, and that's what Paul is telling Timothy here. Look, as Christians, we should be diligent to know God's word and how to apply it. And so it's not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That we can take God's word and use it and apply it to our lives. So you know, I'm going to go through some real basic things. I've been doing this with each one. We talk about prayer, we talk about fasting, now Bible study. He says, what is study? And it seems really simple. Reading the Bible is a good place to start. Right? You can't know it unless you read it. And none of us have any excuse. I know I have several Bibles around the home. If you don't have one that's a paper, the old-fashioned thing, there's electronic forms. You can have it on your phone. I mean, we are without excuse. We are inundated, right? You can say, well, I grew up on the King James and all the these and thous and thuses. And I'm like, I can't understand the Bible. Well, there's a whole bunch of translations now that's out there that will simplify it, that will help you understand what's written there. So really, we are without excuse because it's so abundant. But I think that abundancy has really made it a point where sometimes we don't take the value of it. Years ago, back during the Cold War, I was reading a thing of a missionary who was underground in Russia when Russia was the USSR. And he talks about the churches there and a few pages of the Bible had floated around to them. And that's all they had was a few pages. And the church would gather in a basement in a house and glean over the most valuable thing that they had was a few pages of the Word of God. And that really puts me to shame when I have so much of it and it sits there. Right? So the first step, easy. All of us can read it. I hope you guys know this. I saw a few of you guys grab these. The New Daily Breads are back there. I'll make a plug for this. These are free. You can grab one on your way out. This is from June. There's a few left over from May. This is just a simple way to, one little verse and a little kind of devotion to get you thinking about it. And these are free, a good way to kind of get into the habit of reading God's word every day. If you're electronic, I mean, there's all kinds of apps that will pop up and give you and send you if you're willing. But the first thing is to get into and read it. Second thing, if you talk about studying the scriptures, is to meditate on it. And what is meditation? I'm not talking about saying, om, ni, num, num, om, put your legs up in a way that I can't do now. Right, and the world's sort of idea of meditation is to empty yourself, right? To find a quiet place and empty yourself. Actually, biblical
meditation is actually just the opposite. Nowhere in the scripture are we told to empty ourselves. Actually, we're told to fill ourselves. To fill ourselves with his spirit. To fill ourselves with his word. With music. With songs. To fill ourselves in the positive things that will help us in that direction. So I always find it interesting that sort of the secular meditation is the empty. And God's word tells us to, see, write the divine word of truth. Here we go, laying it right on you. But the Bible tells us to fill, be filled with the Holy Spirit, be filled with his word. Actually, Psalm says it this way. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he what? Meditates day and night. And the term meditate really has that idea of, I don't know what you had for breakfast this morning, is that idea of like a cow chewing its cud. It has the idea of bringing it back up and chewing it again and bringing it up and chewing it again to process it. Wonderful image before lunch, but the idea here is that we take God's word, we think about it, we ponder it, we wrestle with it. And this idea that throughout the day, so as we go down through, you know, something like the daily bread, or maybe you read something else, is to read God's word and think about what it says, what it means, and how to apply it to our lives. Music is a wonderful way to bring God's word into and bring it through and get our thoughts in that process to dwell on those things. Bible study is also memorization. We don't memorize stuff anymore. You know, we've kind of lost that skill. I mean, we're right? We have, most of us have one of these laying around. So I don't have to memorize anything. I just, hey, Google, don't do it again. I know, I do it every time. I know, go away. Right? But I don't have to memorize anything because I have it all right here. When I was a kid, there used to be a show, Buck Rogers, in the 25th century or something like that. And he was a guy from the 80s who got frozen and thawed out. And it's funny because he couldn't fathom how kind of stupid all the people in the future were, because they had all these electronics, because you didn't have to think, you have to know, right? I'm guilty. I don't know my own phone number. I don't call myself, right? I don't know what it is. I don't know my wife's number, right? It's in the phone. You know, when my mom moved, I went to try to call her, and I don't know if you guys have an Android phone, but every once in a while it glitches and it erases numbers. So my mom was going through all this, so I was desperately looking for my mom's phone number. I had no record of it. I'm like going through, and I'm like, I don't. So actually, luckily, my wife has an old little three-ring little address book. Remember those? And like on page 12... in pencil is my mom's number, because it hasn't changed in so many years, right? But it's funny how we just, I don't have to retain anymore. We don't memorize anymore. We don't require our kids to memorize anymore. I remember as a kid in school, learning passages, learning poems, right? And this day, I still have them memorized. Today, if you were to ask me what the preamble of the Constitution is, I can tell you that. Why? Because of Schoolhouse Rock, right? Or conjunction, junction, what's your function, right? Memorizing and having these things locked in. And even now, helping, my daughter with homeschool, turn around, and I'm able to pull out these old songs that I remember as a kid. It's in there, whether I have electronics or not. To take God's word and hide it in our hearts. Once again, the psalmist says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That there are certain things that we should probably know that we have read that's in here that I don't have to think about because we know it. Right? Years ago, a young lady was talking to my wife and she was all excited. She goes, I met a man. And she goes, it's wonderful. And my wife's like, oh, really? She wanted to tell me, don't go talk to my wife. This is... But she's like, oh, he's wonderful. And she goes, really pray. If this is God's will, it'll work out. And she goes, as soon as he leaves his wife, we're talking about getting. But will you pray if this is God's will? Can I tell you something? The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery.
This is not God's will. Right? Don't have to pray about it. God's word is pretty clear on that. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. But we know that. We pull it out. And the last one.
Bible study is not just reading it. Not just thinking about it. Not just memorizing it. But it actually goes to fruition when we actually do it.
James tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Right? I know a lot of people who know a lot of things, but don't do a single thing about it. Years ago, I had a gentleman knock on my door. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and he was drunk as a skunk. It was a snowstorm, and we were living in the middle of nowhere. I don't know where he came from. He goes, are you the pastor? I said, yeah. He goes, you have to give me a ride home. So I told my wife, I said, honey, this gentleman wants a ride home. And she's like, what? I was like, yeah. Who is he? I don't know. But it's freezing cold out. So we got in the car. And he goes, you know, I used to go to church. I said, well, good. He said, do you go now? He goes, no. He goes, but I bet I know more Bible than you do. And I'm like, you probably do. I'm not going to argue that. So he started saying, what's Psalms 38:5? And what's Matthew 10:10? And he started, I'm like, I don't know. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't, And he started ranting off. He goes, see, I know more of the Bible than you do. And my grace level had kind of... And so I looked at him, and I said, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, I know more Bible than you. I said, then I feel bad for you. He goes, why? I said, let me ask you something. Are you doing it? If you know more than me, are you doing what you know? And he kind of got quiet. So we got to his house, which is probably about 7 miles away. And it was a big party going on in his house. So I pulled in, turned off the car, and got out. He goes, no, this is where I live. I said, I know, but you got me up, so I'm coming in. So I went in and sat down with a bunch of guys, and I witnessed to them till about 4 in the morning. My wife was panicking. This is before we had all cell phones. So I came home about 5 o'clock in the morning. Probably smelled like cigarettes and smoke and alcohol. And so I came in, and she's like, where were you all night? I was like, I was over. She's like, you should have let me know, right? She worried. But, right, you can have all the knowledge, memorize all of it, but if you're not doing it, then the Bible is no effect. I want to encourage you with the benefits of Bible study. I really want to encourage you. It's for your benefit. One, it gives maturity in your Christian life. Peter tells the believers there, he says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And he likens the word of God as milk for a baby. They're hungry for it. And it starts off simple, right? You get that formula and, you don't give a baby a steak. They start off and, you ever see a little baby that's hungry and they're just like, I'm just like starving. Yeah, you only ate like a half hour ago, but it's like, milk, I haven't seen this before, right? And the Bible says, look, as Christians, we should be hungry for the word of God as a babe for milk. We should want God's word to know it, to study it, to process it. And then through that, grow. And he likens it, he turns on to, in Hebrews, he told the believers there, he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only in milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason have used their senses and exercised to discern both good and evil. And he likens it that, look, as the more I know God's word, right, the more I realize I don't know. And I grow. And as I understand some simple things, then there sets the platform for me to understand some harder things. Because there are some things in the scriptures that are hard to understand. There are things that I don't know. I don't fully understand. But as I digest God's word and I grow and I exercise it and I do it, just like a babe who starts off at milk who progresses. It's been a long time, right?
go up and give them a little applesauce, a little oatmeal, a little more solid. Then eventually go up and up and up until finally they're asking for half your steak. As we get into God's word, the more we know. And he told the believers here, says, look, at this point, some of you have been Christians long enough that you guys should know the word of God enough that you should be teaching others. But because you haven't been in the word, you haven't been digesting it, you haven't been doing it, he says, look, you're still kind of babes in this. And he kind of gives the believers here, and he goes into chapter 6, sort of a kick in the pants, and says, okay, guys, grow up. It's time to step up. It's time for you to know. It's time for you to learn. Look, Bible study increases our faith. Increases our faith. Why? Romans 10 says this. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more I know of God, the more I get more of his word, the more I just digest that, the stronger my faith becomes. Because I know who God is. I know what he expects of me. When things are hard, right? When I'm going through a hard time, I know my God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Here's a verse that I have memorized in my life. When I go through those things, I can pull that verse up and say, okay, God, you said you're always here. You know, when things are getting tight and kind of, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging for bread. These are verses that in my life I can pull out. When I need peace, right? He says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. In this world you have tribulation, you will have troubles. Be not be dismayed, I have overcome the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. These are verses that we take in our lives. And boys, in there, when I don't know what to do, I hang on to him. And the more of God's word I know, the more I can bring it back in prayer, the more I can cling to it. Here I can claim these promises. All these things build us up to build up our faith. To stand strong. Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I can't tell you how many times I've been quoting that one. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. That where I am, there you may be. I could go, right? All these promises that give us hope, that increase our faith in troubled times. Bible study gives us stability in our faith, in our walk with the Lord. Matthew, Jesus uses the illustration here. It says, therefore, who hears these sayings of mine, notice what he says, if you hear it, and he, what, does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. What's this verse about? It's not about building your house. It's about hearing God's word and doing it. And as Christians, folks, when the storms of this life, and right now there's a lot of storms going on. We have sicknesses, we have cancers, we have struggles, we have finances. All these things are crashing in. We have a world that's rapidly changing. All these things are going on around us. And praise God that we can stand on him. The Lord, you are the rock that is higher than I. You're the firm foundation. All these things that God says he is, he is. And in there, as a Christian, I don't have to run around crazy. Now, I do sometimes. But praise God, through his word, we can come back and get centered of who I am and who's in charge. Hearing God's word and doing it brings stability to our lives. But he goes on, he says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was the fall. By not knowing God's word and not doing God's word, folks, our lives are set up for a wreck. When the storms come, we don't know where to go. We have no hope. You know, one thing I was really encouraged watching the numbers during this whole COVID year. And they talk about people struggling with mental illness and all that. And they talk consistently, the one group that has done well has been Christians. Because we have a hope. We know who's in charge, right?
Now, I believe that God says he rules the world. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't know what he's always doing. God doesn't clear everything with me. You know, I don't get up in the morning, I looked on Facebook, and God says, hey, John, guess what? Today I'm going to do this. God doesn't need my permission. But I know he's good. And I can trust in him.
And I want to do what he says. The last benefit I want to talk about this morning, I could go on. The last benefit I want to talk about this morning is it brings unity. It brings unity. You know, we live in a day and age where so many people are believing all their own things. We talk about beginning, right? People have their own facts. You know, it drives me nuts when I hear people say, well, you know, you tell me your truth. Okay, I'll speak my truth to you. No, there's one truth. You have an opinion, you have a view, right? But there's only one truth. The truth is truth.
But part of this has caused such a division among us that we can't even agree on the facts of issues anymore. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they agree?
And as Christians, as we get together and study, it's interesting, most of the time when scriptures discuss this as studying, isn't necessarily individual. It's corporate. It's corporate. The churches gather. People get together, studying God's word. The assembly of Israel got together and were taught the word of God. They met in synagogues. They met in the church. All these things to learn God's word. And we're really missing that. We've gotten so independent now that we've lost this aspect of the corporate sense. And what that does is bring us in unity. And Acts 2 talks about the early church and the growth of the early church. The early church was under persecution. It was struggles. Christians were being killed for their faith. And yet the church grew, and I think part of that had to do with how they acted with one another. Acts 2 says this. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the truth. That's the word of God. And fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, sold their possessions and good, and divided them among all as everyone had need. There is unity within the body of Christ. What a blessing that is, that we can get together as brothers and sisters and fellow workers and lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ, be united together. It doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. We're very diverse in our opinions in that, but we're united in our love for the Lord. As we sit here today, hopefully God's word draws us in agreement with his word, and that builds up his church. And through that, fellowship comes in. The breaking of bread and praying for one another, all these things come from the unity we have through Jesus Christ. Bible study is profitable for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Right? You want to turn a profit? I'm not talking about money. You don't want financial advice from me. Right? But you want profit in your life? God's word is the best investment you can make. All scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's profitable for what? Doctrine. What's true? Right? Doctrine just means teaching. It's the truth. You want to know what truth is? Go to the Word. It doesn't change. Right? I mean, isn't it interesting how nowadays definition of words change so quickly? Oh, that doesn't mean that anymore because they changed the definition of it. What? Right? Right is right and wrong is wrong. No, not anymore. Now we've redefined it. We've changed it all, right? The Bible is the source of right and wrong, and it does not change. For reproof, the idea of reproof means to correct. So I always kind of liken this, you know, this passage, I always picture this riding a bike. And if you go ride a bike, you know, teaching your kid, have you ever done that? This is the right way to ride a bike, right? So that's doctrine. This is the right way to ride it. This is the right way to go. And then reproof is, okay, these are things you don't do, right? You don't put your fingers in the chain. Don't do that, right? Don't go down the road and rub your sneaker on the front tire, Don't ask me how I know this. Right? Don't do that. And I think as we look at our society, especially even within churches today, we're hearing a lot of all the good things, but we don't hear the things that God says don't. And folks, if you're going to be correct in your Christian life, heed God's word. There are yeses and there are noes. There's doctrine and there's reproof. We have correction. Right? The correction means that if you fall down your bike, what do? You stand it back up. So correction is not only what you've done wrong, but how to make it right. You know, over the years, so many of the counseling that I've done, people come to me and say, Pastor, I have messed up. How do I make it right? Let's go to the Word of God. How do we rectify? How do we forgive? How do we unify? Right? So doctrine is the right thing. Reproof is the wrong thing. Correction is, okay, I messed up. Now how do I make it right again? And then instruction is how to keep doing the right thing, how to keep on the right path. So to me, it helps. I don't know if it helps anyone else. But I picture teaching a kid to ride a bike. The right thing to do, things not to do. When you fall down, how do you get back up? And then how to keep going. The Word of God offers all these things in our lives. And I want to give you some final thoughts. The Bible is food for the soul. We talked about the idea of milk and solid food, but it is a food for our soul to feed us spiritually. And can I tell you something? I think a lot of Christians are really spiritually anemic. There's a lot of spiritual junk food out there that doesn't satisfy, that doesn't bring towards maturity, but it satisfies that, you know what, I'm fine. I don't need to study God's word. I don't need to be in it. I'm happy. I'm fine. We're not hungry for the Word of God, but the Word of God is food for the soul. It's guidance for your life. If you are seeking out wisdom for your life, the Bible is the first place you should go to. What does the Bible say about this? What does it say about that? Like I said, some things are laid out that thou shalt not and thou should do, and some things are laid out. Some things are principles that you only know by going through the Bible, going through some, of talking to someone else and getting encouragement from them. I think of the Ethiopian eunuch who's traveling down through, and God brings Philip there. And he runs alongside the eunuch in his chariot, and he goes, oh, what are you doing? He goes, I'm reading. It was Isaiah. He goes, did you understand? He goes, no, I really can't understand this. How can I understand unless someone comes and helps me? And Philip says, hey, you know what? I got a deal for you. And Philip jumped in the chariot and explained the passage to him. And the man accepted the Lord. That through here we can study and guide and direct our lives and be encouraged. The Bible is correspondence from heaven. Think of it as a love letter. Years ago I talked to a widow. And up in her closet she kept a whole bunch of letters that she had from her husband when he was over in the war. And she cherished those things. And she goes, well, you know, when I miss him, I would dig out these letters and sit down and read. Folks, this is communication from our God, our Father. And these are his love letters to us. Do we cherish them that way? These are correspondence from heaven. And God speaks to us. It's funny, when I was in college, I was going through a really hard time with some things. And I sat down in prayer, and I had my Bible there, and I started marking some verses. I was flipping through, and all this verse just spoke to me, and I marked it, and I was crying, and I had tear stains on the Bible pages. And I was just highlighting things, and I was like, oh, I just had such an intimate time with God. Well, years later, I came across my Bible. I had packed it away, pulled it out, and I opened up the pages. I see the stained, teared pages. I see things underlined, and I have no idea why I underlined what I did. It didn't speak to me. I remember that night being so emotional. I just felt like God was almost in an audible voice speaking to me through his word. And yet, some other time I opened it and I was like, these are good verses, but I couldn't understand. And it dawned on me because God was speaking through his word to me. And he was giving me the message I needed then through his word. And now I had those words that didn't have the same meaning, but there's other places that God would speak to me through. It's correspondence from heaven.
And the last one is the Word of God is the manifestation of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, right? This is God. This is Jesus Christ. Do you want to know what Jesus is like? Read His Word. What would Jesus do? He can't go contrary to His Word. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. These are the words He left for us. This is His embodiment. This is His personality. These are things He loves. And Jesus says, if you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. In your bulletin, I put this in. Tonight, I wanted to give you a whole bunch of why study the Bible. I didn't really give you a whole lot of how to. And so that'd be another hour, and I know you guys are getting hungry, so. But here's just a real simple tool you can stick in your Bible or anywhere you put it. And just, let's talk about the soap, if it helps, S-O-A-P. To clean up your Bible study, I don't know. But in here, it talks about each one to help you kind of in a simple thing. Let me tell you something. The best way to study God's Word is together with other people. Tuesday Bible study. You know, it's funny because we sit around now, it ranges in numbers. And, you know, and time again, people are like, I don't know why there aren't more people here. And I know some people time-wise can't make it. But, you know, one lady, she's like, this is just so good. Everyone should be here kind of just digging this in. And I'm like, you know. Right, Paul? I'll put a plug in. You know. But get involved in Bible study. We're going to be starting up Sunday school. We've got Sunday night coming up pretty soon. All these ways that as a church we try to corporately give. But be involved. S, Scripture. Write out one verse that is meaningful to you. If you're going through the daily bread, there's a verse each day. If you want to just pick a verse. Like I said, there's so much online now. But take one verse. And what does this verse mean to you? Oh, it means observation. What is interesting in the passage? What did you learn? What was God saying to you? As you go through, Scripture is better in chunks. Because I think we've all experienced where someone will take one verse sort of out of context and make it say something. So it's easy to take Scripture by pieces. And say, okay, what's this talking about? Who's he talking to? What's being applied? What's being said? How can I apply this? Which brings us down to application. Right? How can you apply this Scripture? How can I apply this today? What can I do? How can I have this mean to me today? And the last one is prayer. Respond to God in prayer. Use the Scripture as a guide. Ask God to help you to meditate and apply the Scripture to your life. Bible study is a two-way communication. God, You're speaking to me. Allow Your Spirit to be my teacher. Open my eyes. And so incorporate prayer in that time. This is just a simple way to get into the idea of prayer. Now, once again, into Bible study, once again, I want to encourage you. That just because, you know, I sat down and read four chapters today, oh, I'm spiritual. It doesn't work that way. But it's a process of growing and being fed and applying God's Word to your life. And it will strengthen your spirit as we get spiritually fit. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise You and exalt You for who You are. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for the Word of God You have given us. Lord, help us be diligently seeking it out, reading it, Lord, meditating on it. That we may know You, we may be pleasing to You, that You'll have a perfect work in our life, Lord, to transform us into what You want us to be, all through Your Word. Encourage us this morning by that Word. Give us hope, build our faith, all because of the Word of God. Lord, we ask these things in Your name.